So this morning, what I'm doing is I am going to give you a little bit about what happened recently at the church. Bruno and I were involved in a healing time for our ministry. If you don't know, Bruno's been around Catch the Fire since what was called Toronto Vineyard at that point, Toronto Airport Vineyard. He has been around since 89. And I started coming in 91 when we started dating, and then came permanently in 93 when we were married. So we've been around this ministry a long time. And so we were asked to join in this time to find some healing into our ministry. And so what I want to do is go through that with you a little bit so that you understand a little bit about what we went through. As soon as I find it. Of course, I didn't open it ahead of time, right? There we go. So this was a ministry to... Okay, so what we do in our church is we highly recommend healing weeks for people. So what this... It's good. It hurts a lot, but it's good. So I want to give you guys the illustration because some of you haven't heard about this kind of thing before. Say you're driving your car and you hear like this kaboom, rattle, rattle, rattle. Right? You will pull over and actually lift the hood up, won't you? And take a look. What possibly could be making that sound? And then you have to kind of look around a little bit. And if you don't see anything that could be making that sound, you have to bring it to a mechanic who can use his eyes, who knows what it is that he's looking for by the sounds that you tell him it made. Well, that's the same thing in our lives. That's the same thing in our families. That's the same thing in actually organizations, whether it's a ministry or whether it's actually a business that you own. You can go back and you can do healing for the organization, much like you would for a person. Okay? So this is what we did. And so what we did was we lifted the hood and we looked at what possibly could be making those sounds. And this is what we came up with. The primary issue that we had in Catch the Fire was that we, meaning Catch the Fire, are left in a place of uncertainty because at times confusion and deception distort our ability to make and propagate good and godly decisions. And this triggers our orphan and abandonment lifestyle issues. Okay, so we came up with this as the main issue. And how we came to this is there's been a couple of things that have gone on over the years where decisions have been made because decisions need to be made quickly instead of necessarily thinking through the applications of those decisions in terms of how they'd affect the whole ministry, or also saying that they need to be made quickly and going on man's ideas rather than leaning into God and going on God's ideas. Because we felt that they need to be made quickly, and this was like this is a leadership issue. And so this was the main one. But what happens then is it transfers down through leadership and into all the people and into how people even make decisions in their cell groups and everything else. And they make quick decisions instead of practicing, because it has to start at the top, right? And so this we found out was the main issue. So what we did first was we went through the sins of the fathers. Now these are the founding fathers. Okay, so the founding fathers of our ministry, the land issues, so the actual land that the building's on, and then the resident fathers, which are the fathers now. Do you understand that? Okay, so the founding fathers are John and Carol Arnott. Okay, John and Carol have both been through divorces. Okay, then you've got the vineyard is also part of the founding fathers because we were first a vineyard. So then you've got all the issues that came in with being the vineyard, because there too there was a lot of issues of people feeling abandoned. People like John Wimber did not have a great relationship with his own sons, and also not even with his spiritual sons. So you had those issues. And then you had also the issue that early on in our movement, the vineyard turned us away. So you've got all, so those are the sins of the founding fathers. And then you've got the land issues. Actually, the land originally was First Nations land that the church is on. And that was taken by the British government. So you've got usurping issues. and people not necessarily wanting to give it up. Even though there was a transfer of money, it wasn't necessarily done with everyone's agreement. And then, so you've got those issues. And then several times over, when that land has been transferred, like sold, someone has felt cheated. And it's come up. Either lawyers have felt cheated, someone has felt cheated. And it's come up again and again and again on the land issues. And then you've got the resident father. So now we've got all of these pastors with Steve and Sandra at the top. And so then you've got all the same kind of issues coming to the head. So some of the things that were coming to the head are orphan issues, because people feel abandoned. We had the whole divorce, like people leaving and not leaving well. Okay, so that's a kind of a divorce. And so those are issues that went on. And then the thing is people feeling cheated. So those are all things that came. So what we did is we went through, and it says in Exodus several times over, it says in Numbers, it says in Deuteronomy, that the sins of the fathers would pass to third and fourth generation. And so unless we actually break these sins, they're going to be passed on. And we don't want those things propagated. I mean, nobody wants abandonment issues in their family. And we're a family because we're a church. And so what we did is we confessed the sins of our ancestors and all of our current and previous spiritual leaders, and we moved through all of this. And, you know, this, it was hard to identify. Like, it was hard to say these things out loud. Okay? I mean, Bruno and I know John and Carol fairly well, and this was Carol totally setting up this meeting with Sandra. Like, the two of them, like, with the whole thing of setting up this whole meeting to take place. But generally, John hasn't been as open to talk about all these different things. And so it was really amazing just to hear him, because he was the one who opened up first. And so it was like it was all on the table. And this was a very good thing to have the father of our ministry say, we need, you know, this is, we're going to go for this. Okay? And so we confessed the sins. We forgave. We spent a long time forgiving. You know, and for any of you who were part of that time when the division came in the vineyard, it hurt in Canada a lot. And I'm just going to invite you right now just to forgive, okay? Because we've forgiven as leadership. And now we need all of you to do the same. To say, you know what, we bless the vineyard. We bless them to excel in what God's called them to across the world and here in Canada especially. We bless them, you know, to move on in those things. You know, we forgive them. We release them. And I just want to invite you to do that with us right now, because we've been through that now as leadership. And for us, the thing with forgiveness is that it releases you. I mean, you may think there's an injustice done and you need to hold that person to it. But what forgiveness does, it unties you from the problem. It unties you from the issue so that you can move on. And so, Father, right now, we untie ourselves from those things. We forgive them. And we bless the whole vineyard movement across Canada, across the whole. And then what we did, honey, I got the slides in the wrong order. We went to ungodly beliefs. And we found that we had several ungodly beliefs that were tied in to all of these different things that I just shared with you. And the first one was, we don't have members. We don't have belonging. We just, okay, maybe I jumped too far ahead. Okay, let me go back to what an ungodly belief is. Okay, ungodly beliefs. Have you all heard about these before? Okay. Ungodly beliefs, in secular thought, they would be called them self-talk. You guys have heard about self-talk? The things that you say to yourself in your head that you think no one else is hearing, but you actually react on those things? Okay, so what happens is you have an experience in life that's negative, and that leads to an expectation that the same thing is going to happen again. And then that leads to the belief that no matter what, it's that always and never word, always, never. It's a belief. As soon as you say always or never, that's one of your internal beliefs. Okay, that's the key to understanding what it is in your life. And the belief leads you to act in a certain way. Okay, so it's like it permeates, saying, treat me this way. I'm expecting that you will treat me. This is my belief, and I'm living out of it, and so I'm acting on it. And so you're pulling that out of people. And that leads to another experience, which leads to another expectation, and is this downward spiral in your life. Okay? That's what ungodly belief is. And so what in the Bible, let me give you an example. Do you remember Elijah, King Ahab, from your Sunday school days? Do you remember the, like, you know, Elijah said to King Ahab, let's build these huge, big sacrifices. I'll douse mine with water. We'll call on God and see who answers, your God or my God. Do you remember those from your Sunday school days? Okay. Y'all remember that story. Do you remember what he did after that? He ran away and hid in a cave and said, oh my goodness, she's going to kill me. I'm the only one left. And he said all of these things about himself. I'm the only one left. God doesn't care about me. And he, like, those were all ungodly beliefs. And look at the victory he just had. Okay? And then he ran away. And that's what ungodly beliefs will do to you. That's a huge picture. Okay? He went from, like, huge victory into running away and hiding in a cave. And that's what ungodly beliefs do. So what we want to do with ungodly beliefs is we want to bring the cross of Christ and place it between the expectation and belief. We're going to say, you know what? It stops here. Honey, can you go to the next slide? We're going to break the cycle with the cross. And we're going to apply the blood of Jesus here. Okay? And so we're going to say, you know what? I am not going to believe this. I'm going to say, you know what? The always and never stops here. So what we do is we confess the ungodly belief. Okay? I choose not to believe and say it to God. Any strongholds that are attached to it, any demonic strongholds, you know, they go now. I choose to forgive. And you name the people who have, you know, got you into this cycle. You might have to name them more than once. That's okay. And this is what we did as an organization, okay? And then from there, we came up with a couple of ungodly beliefs. So the first one was, we will always be left in a place of uncertainty because we will never get rid of confusion and deception that clouds our decisions. Okay? And that's the ungodly belief that the Kilstras pulled out of all of our times of sharing. And the godly belief that we agreed upon was, okay, so what we did was then we confessed the sin of, of believing this ungodly belief. Father, we confess the sin of we will always be left in a place of uncertainty because we will never get rid of confusion and deception that clouds our decisions. Then we forgave those who were involved in creating it. So we forgave John Wimber. We forgave some of the different movements that came into it. We forgave, you know, and we even did repentance on behalf of, because Bruno and I, at the beginning of all of this, we were congregational members. We weren't pastors. And so we were able to speak as congregation to the leadership on some of these things, and we did some of those kind of things. We removed any demonic strongholds attached to it, and then we chose to accept the godly belief together. So I want you to say this with me, okay? I choose to accept the godly belief the Lord is leading us in a clear path. We as leaders choose to align ourselves with the guiding of the Holy Spirit along with godly counsel to make clear, honest, and wise decisions. We commit to do our part to keep confusion and deception out of our family. And we wanted to put that word family in there because we want you to understand we see church as family. This isn't just a place to meet. This isn't just a bunch of individuals, but this is actually a relational group. And that's what family is about. It's about the relational part. So the next ungodly belief that we identified, that was identified to us, was we don't have members or belonging or ownership, just attendees. And this came out in several different ways. Because we come from the vineyard, the vineyard was very much about flowing and people in and out and didn't really keep track. And and all of those things, and very much we took on that culture as a church right from the very start. And that's not, we want the flow of the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't mean we don't want people to feel like they belong. Like there's a balance in there. And so we came up with a godly belief. So again, we confessed the sin. We forgave those who were involved in creating it. We removed any demonic stronghold attached to it. And then we accepted the godly belief. So let's say this together. We accept the godly belief that we are a church family in revival. We invite you to join us. Okay? So what we want to express in this godly belief is we are a church family. We do fully believe in revival. And we want people to join us. Like we want everyone who's willing to be involved. And it's and to feel like they belong and to feel like they have a place and a part. And we don't want to set anything up as an exclusive part. And that was the other part of the vineyard. I remember someone telling me that they came from a Baptist background and became a vineyard pastor, and for the first time in their life they felt cool. Because it felt more like an exclusive group. And we never want that to happen here with Cash the Fire. We want it to remain very much that everyone belongs. That, you know what? It's good. It's just, come, join in. It'll be fun, you know? So that's that one. The next one that was identified was, we will not be ready when it's time. And this ungodly belief originated in the fact that when the first revival hit, John and Carol were taken by surprise by it. I don't know if you remember that, but in all the stories about revival, John and Carol were very much taken by surprise. They'd been spending their time with God, but this was all new, and oh my goodness, and look what's happening, and what do we do with it? And we weren't, and in a lot of ways, we didn't have a big enough building. We didn't have a big enough staff. There's a lot of things we didn't have in time. And so this is seen as a good thing and a bad thing in the ministry. That we will not be ready when it's time again. And we were not ready when it was. And yet revival came anyway. And all these things happened. And so we confess the sin of believing this ungodly belief because God obviously thought we were ready. Okay, he thought everything was in place. We just didn't feel like it was. You know, I can remember Ben Kennedy, he's now the youth pastor of the ministry. He's a youth pastor at Airport. He was 8 years old with, you know, the glow sticks and a shirt on at night parking cars. You know, like we just, everybody was fully in, you know, like yeah, that's just how it was. But God thought we were ready. He saw the potential in each one. So we confess the sin of believing this ungodly belief. And how this makes itself apparent in the ministry today is that it makes itself apparent in abundance of paperwork on in terms of what Bruno and the team has to go through in the church. Just for anything. It's just an abundance. Because they want to make sure all the bases are covered. So you forgive those who are involved in creating it, and then we removed any demonic stronghold attached to it, and then we accepted the godly belief together. And so again, we want to say this together. We choose to accept the godly belief. The leading of the Holy Spirit will ensure that we are ready. Okay? You can say that even in terms of your own family. You know, because I know when change happens in my family, I often feel, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Not. And you know, the leader of the Holy Spirit will ensure that we will be ready. So we chose that godly belief. Now, the one thing about godly beliefs is that they become a cycle of love and life in our hearts and in our households. And once we accept them, and now you've got to think, it takes years to get those ungodly beliefs ground in you, okay? There's issues, like this ministry has been around more than 20 years, so some of these ungodly beliefs have had a long time of propagating themselves. So it's going to take a while to propagate the godly beliefs, and that's even in your own life. When you see that always or never, When you start to say those godly beliefs, you've got to say them over and over and over again to yourself. It's that self-talk that goes on in your head, the negative one. Now we're going to change it to the positive one. And so it takes time. You know, some people have lived 40, 50 years saying the same negative things to themselves. So, you know, to give yourself 6 weeks of saying the positive thing isn't, like, that's a short time in comparison to the years that you've been saying the negative. So we need to actually be saying these things in the ministry. And those of you who are cell leaders, I want to highly encourage you to say them, these godly beliefs, because this is where we want the ministry to go. We don't want it to live on the past, but on what God has yet for it. So we want it to become a cycle of love and life. And what happens with this spiral, it goes up instead of down. Okay? It's a cycle up of creative life and love. Now, the next thing that we did was we did the healing of memories. Okay? And this is the past pain in your life that overwhelms your ability to make decisions today. All of us have negative memories, okay? This was the picture I chose. Because you know what? Most of the time when we're in the middle of things, we don't hear each other. And so these are the organizational hurts that we went through. And the biggest one that we dealt with was the division from the vineyard. And this was a very emotional time in the room. You know, our memories are very sensitive, and they don't necessarily, the pain, even though you say you forgive and that you've dealt with things, it doesn't mean that it's left completely. And the best way I can explain it is when I was a child, I wasn't supposed to, but I took my mom's shearing scissors for her sewing, and I cut some fabric, which I wasn't allowed to. And I ended up cutting a really deep cut in my hand. And it hurt, and it bled everywhere. And, of course, I had to tell my mom what I did and all the rest of that. And then later that week, I had to do dishes, and the scab came off, and it bled everywhere. And then I walked through a doorway and flung it into it, and the scab came off, and it bled all over again. But today it's just a scar. And I can tell you that story without pain. Okay, I can touch it, and there's no pain. And that's the promise with forgiveness and with the healing of memories. But you know what? There are some really messy times, usually, between complete healing and the scar and when you first got the injury. You know, just like there was, in my case, physically, there is to our hearts, too. And we have to leave room for that. And so this was a very emotional time in the room as we dealt from each one's perspective of the division from the vineyard. From John and Carol's in terms of being leaders, and from Bruno and mine in terms of just being congregation, and then everyone in between. And some of them weren't even there at the time of the division. And so it was a very emotional time to say, God, you know, we choose to forgive. Father, we give you that memory, and we ask you to bring healing to it. You know, and the best way I can describe it is when I'm doing this with kids, when I'm dealing with memories, and I say to the kids, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to remember the place, what it felt like, what it looked like, all those different things, because you can go back there very easily. And now I want you to see Jesus in the room, and then I want you to start to give him those negative feelings. And it's like a balloon, you know, that you're just passing over to him. And just let him deal with them. And it just brings so much healing to you. Like, let me explain one personally that I had. When I was 15, my parents were running group homes. And it was my birthday. And the staff didn't show up to take the kids. So we couldn't go out because we were expecting to. And it was so hard on me. Anyway, so I was going through this ministry time, just dealing with, anyway, some of my buffers with people. And so this memory came up, and I So I was giving them to Jesus. I was lying on my bed at home crying. I was giving them to Jesus. And they were like a present this time, like a gift box. And he was setting them aside. And I was like, oh, I was actually a little upset with him at that point. It's like, you're setting my feelings aside. But he was setting them aside. And then this angel would come. And I was asking about it. And at that time, the angel came and picked up my little gift of my feelings and brought it to the Father. And it went into his heart. And I went, oh, okay. And, you know, it took a little while, but the healing came. And so at this time when we were dealing with the vineyard, I can't really tell you what went on, but it was an incredible time. And so if you yourself still have, you know, if that was a vivid memory in your life at the time of the division that took place, take some time for some healing in that. I encourage you to do that. We've done it as leaders, and now it's your turn. It's your turn. And so what we did was we confessed the sins. And we told God about the hurt and the loss that was involved. And we chose to forgive them. And it was very good. And then, and we did it by name. And then we asked God to forgive us for our sinful responses, because that's our part. And how we responded to the behavior that came against us. And that's a big part in your own life. You need to say, God, okay, now what was my ungodly response? What was my response to that? Was that in line with who you are, with who you say you are? And then we ask God to forgive us for those. And then we chose to forgive ourselves for carrying that loss and that hurt. And then we shared our wounded feelings with him, our disappointments, our loss, the abandonment. And we told, and we said to him that we gladly gave them to him. And so it's almost a relief to do this. It is a relief. It just lightens it all. After we went through that time, we dealt in the area of deliverance. And the methodology is put forward because if you come at things in these ways where you deal with the sins of the fathers, which can carry on to the generations after you, and then you deal with the ungodly beliefs, which are the structures that you surround yourself to keep those things in your life, and then you deal with the memories, which are the places deep within you that those things are hidden in, then deliverance is easy. It's not like you have to go digging because everything's exposed at this point because there's nothing for them to hide behind. So then what we did was we just said, in the name of Jesus, we renounce the demons and strongholds. And we mostly dealt with issues of abandonment and communication at this point. The whole orphanness, because our ministry was founded on the Father's love, it's a magnet for all those who have never experienced it. So we end up with a lot of people who have abandonment issues, who have rejection issues in both in leadership as well as in our churches, because that's what we talk about. And so if we confess it as leaders and we deal with our stuff, it'll make it that much easier for everyone else to deal with theirs. So we commanded them to go, all of the different strongholds. So we dealt with fatherlessness, divorce. Those are all fall under abandonment, orphan issues, deception, lack in finance, lack in people, distorted vision, the shame, fear, control cycle, deception, confusion. Those are areas of communication. Anyway, so we dealt with those in terms of deliverance, and that was easy at this point. Then, during this whole time, Brian shared with us a dream. Now, Brian is our executive director over the ministry. Brian Stevenson was, he's a retired general. He was one of the, I think he was the fourth highest general in Canada at one point. But he oversees the ministry right now. And he had this dream. The night before we met. We met on Friday night, and then we met Saturday, and he had the dream Friday night. And this was a horse race, and it was a place that he'd never been that was taking place. And there was probably about 15 horses at the starting gate, and the race had not started, so everyone was kind of anxious in the crowd as to why the race hadn't started. But there was five horses that didn't have riders. And so they couldn't start the race. And the anxiety was growing in the people. And so the loudspeaker went off and they said they can't start the race without riders. And they requested volunteers to come forward. And there was another hesitation and there was pent-up expectation among the people, with both frustrated and excited. And people came forward to volunteer, and he when he was explaining this, I don't have it written down, but he was saying like some of them were older people, some of them were really young, but these people volunteered, like some of them were elderly even. And then the horses were finally released, and it was amazing, and he said it was almost like it was in slow motion. And as we looked, they were going to the they were going, but there was no finish line. And so, anyway, the horses, when we talked about this all, the horses meant are like the power, right? And the move of God. Because usually, like, horses or the horses were not able to move forward. So the power of God in the ministry was not able to move forward without the riders on it. And so we had talked about it as the horses were programs or departments, and the leader of that department was not always on the horse. And then Betsy Kilstra said something really interesting. Betsy and Chester were the ones that were leading this time together. She said the leader of any department of anything should be an intercessor. And that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, you know, the person who's leading something really needs to be an intercessor as well as good at their job to be praying over, especially in a church context, in a ministry context. So that was really interesting. And anyway, so there was not, in Betsy's mind, that meant that there was not enough intercessors at the helm, like at the lead. And then also that there weren't enough people put in place with enough power to lead their areas well enough. And then there was the whole issue of dealing with the disappointment because of the slow start. And then also the issue that there was only few that volunteered. So what we see in the future is we see revival coming. Okay, we see that like these horses are moving. And again, out of 15, there was five that didn't seem to have something at the helm, like a rider on it. And so right now we want to pray as a ministry to that God would put in place, that wouldn't be us putting in place, but God. Like, we're not asking for volunteers, but God would handpick the people to ride those things. And also then that the power would go forward, and that it wouldn't, there wouldn't be an exhaustion that sits in. I just see the fact that there was no finish line, that, you know, I keep hearing in the prophetic words about this revival that's never going to end, right? This revival that's never going to end. It's like, okay, God, I'm ready for it. You know, I'm ready. I don't know if anyone else is, but I'm ready. And so, like, it's just like, I just want something that will be perpetual and run without tiring and all of those things. So right now, I just want to join you to intercede with me for our ministry, okay? And for what God has in store. And so, Father, you can just, you know, start praying. You want to stand? Stand up. Father, right now, we pray for this ministry. And, Father, that you would handpick those that are meant to take on these departments, that are to take on these things. And, Father, we agree with this dream that this is going to go on into the future. Father, this is going to be a propelled time into the future. Father, we cry out for revival. We cry out for revival in all the cities that we live in. Father, we cry out for revival. Father, for the children to come and know you. Father, for all, we cry out. We cry out. Oh. Cool.
Father, we bless your word. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a promise in the words, the prophetic words that just keep on coming over our ministry is get ready, get ready, get ready. There's a new wave coming. And so, Father, we align our hearts for that next wave that's going to hit the earth, not just our church, but the earth. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord, which covers the waters from sea to sea. Father, there's the glory of the Lord. Revival is going to sweep across not just this nation, but across the world. And so, Father, we thank you for that, and we align our hearts and say we're ready. We want to do what it takes to prepare our hearts, and we're believing in this next wave. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can I share something? Yep. Well, just have a seat for a second. Some of you are probably wondering, what's Naomi doing? You know, I was trying to look at this from, a congregant or just, you know, in the seats there and saying, what's Naomi doing this morning? What's this all about? And just so you know, just to have a little bit of background, last week, you know, I made reference to transforming your business weekend with the Kilstress. They have a book. If you know Restoring the Foundations, a number of years ago they came out with a book called Transforming Your Business. And basically it's taking the healing week. So basically, essentially, what Naomi did was basically a healing week that we packed in a weekend, basically a Friday night and a Saturday, with all the founding leaders, well, several founding leaders of our ministry, Catch the Fire, together with Betsy, or Chester and Betsy Kilstra. And they led us through a Transforming Your Business / Ministry weekend. And so that was the background. So it's not on a Sunday morning sermon kind of thing. So sorry for you newcomers who say, hey, you got in on this. And like, well, what's going on here? Just kind of felt for you a little bit. You know, we just didn't have that sermon 3 points and, you know, send you off, you know, that kind of thing. And you're blessed for the weekend. So that's basically what it was. And it was a critical time because as I prayed, John and Carol, our founding pastors, together with Steve and Sandra Long, who are senior pastors, they have been feeling, and there's been prophetic words just coming from all over the place, really. Just, you know, for a number of years, there's a new wave. There's a next wave coming, and it's great. It's uncontainable. This thing's going to sweep this church. You haven't seen anything yet. It's just this incredible. So that's the context, really, this powerful wave that is going to bring an end-time harvest. And, you know, that's really the context. And with that, they're thinking, okay, you know, Carol and as Naomi said, Carol and Sandra says, what does this mean? Be ready. Get ready. And so with that, we've been wanting to, as a ministry, because obviously we've identified some things, issues that could perhaps hinder us or not, you know. So what's the preparation that we need to do? What are things that we can identify to just make it a cleaner vessel for, you know, the water to flow, so to speak, if you want to use that context, if I can use that context. And so the issues really were a lot of issues of abandonment, orphanness, communication was a major one, as Naomi pointed out. That was a major issue, communication, not just amongst how we communicate things, you see, and how it funnels from the top and goes down, basically, how it filters through and how it's dealt with in our administration as well. Because there is issues in our administration, you know. And then the tax from the outside as well. So Naomi didn't talk about that a little bit, or at all, really. But there was a tax from the outside, jealousy, witchcraft, and the things that come in against our ministry as well. So we were able to deal with stuff on that level because there's a lot of stuff coming at us. stuff that has affected even our finances. You know, a ministry our size should be debt-free and, you know, just moving forward and just taking it, and there shouldn't be any hindrances, you know, in terms of what God is asking us to do, like the kingdom advancing, that kind of thing. And not just in our ministry, then in our personal lives and how it affects you. So kind of it's like a waterfall, you know, and I love that analogy, you know, just from the top down kind of thing. It just flows, the momentum pours and pours and pours. And so if any of you have been feeling some stuff, you know, you're part of this ministry. Now, there was a huge, huge thing that, you know, I was just amazed because Naomi and I were really, truly Vineyard. You know, when we got married, we were Vineyard. So anyone else here were... Yeah, we were Vineyard before we even came to this church. We were really Vineyard. And it was incredible to see that whole thing because the Vineyard, I guess I know a little bit more history because I studied a little bit more history, but the Vineyard is really started as an orphan movement to begin with. If you want to, you know, Calvary Chapel, they were ousted, you know. Ken Gullickson, and if you remember the story, it was a cell group. And we have that same history, that same reoccurring pattern that has developed. And so now we wanted to end that kind of thing for our ministry, to see our ministry just grow and launch. Now, let me say this. We only dealt with 3 ungodly beliefs. Only 3, because that's all we could deal with. But we had, in weakness... I can tell you that there was plenty more to go, really. And so, you know, that's a time
And we are doing another weekend coming up again.
Are we?
Yes.
Okay, can you remember that? All right, so...
That one's going to be focused on communication.
Focused on communication. So there was lots of stuff, and we were only able to deal with those 3 critical ones, I guess, the ones that came to the surface, the ones that the Holy Spirit wanted us to deal with.
So now what I want to do... is I want to move it to personal ministry, because I told you about our corporate stuff. But as I was speaking, likely some things came up in your own life, because that's what happens. You know, when we share our own stuff comes up. And so right now, I want you just to allow the Holy Spirit to identify whether it's an ungodly belief, or whether it's a memory, or whether it's a sin that you went, oh my goodness, that's in my family line too. Whatever it was that God just put his finger on. And I just want you to give it to God and just confess the ungodly belief, or let him be in the room with you as you relive that memory. Or confess the sins of your ancestors, sins of your fathers. And just tell him what it is. And now I want you to choose. If it's a memory, just start giving him your feelings. And for those of you who it's a sin of a father or it's an ungodly belief, I want you to choose to forgive. And just start naming the people to forgive. And the memory, when you're at that place, you can start to forgive too. Just choose to forgive, because it unlocks you from that pattern. That's what it does. It doesn't say, you know, it was right, or it justifies what happened to that person. It just unlocks you from that pattern. So choose to forgive. And then choose to forgive yourself for getting caught in that place, for allowing yourself to believe those things, for... Just forgive yourself. And you know, if you've really said to God, it's unfair, and you're angry with God about the place you were in, just say, God, I release you. I release you from this. I release you from my disappointment. I release you from my anger. I release you. And just allow yourself to fully feel his forgiveness over you. And now, if it's an ungodly belief, just ask God what the godly belief would be. If it's a sin of your ancestors, ask God what He wants you to walk in now. Because whenever He takes something out, He puts something else in. So God, do you want me to walk in favor or freedom or hope? Or just ask Him, what do you want me to walk in, God? And then if it's a healing of memory, just let Him rest on you. As you fully sense the healing.
I think there was another one that I think that could relate to many of us here. It's similar to what we went through and we were able to identify, and that is that, so this could be for a lot of people here, but decisions and actions aren't necessarily based, your decision, your actions aren't necessarily based on, let's say, godly counsel, leading of the Holy Spirit, that kind of stuff, but based more on fears.
Or the wisdom of men.
Wisdom of man.
Or just it has to be fast.
It has to be done. You know, there's a need. So I want you to, if that's you, I mean, I'm not going to have you, you know, raise your hand or anything, but see, that was one of our issues, was that there was a need. Well, put someone there. Not the best person necessarily, you know, the most qualified, not just stick someone there and let it be taken care of. It's off our plate. That's not how to operate, really. You want the wisdom of the Lord, you want the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and you want godly counsel. Mm-hmm. If, you know, and you want the best person right for the job. Mm-hmm.
So, Father, we repent of that ungodly belief.
We do.
We repent of it.
Father, we repent for operating out of fear. Oh, you know, what's going to happen? The consequences. Focusing on that kind of stuff instead of saying, Lord, it's an opportunity. What would you want? What do you want us to do? Where do you want? How do you want us to move? What do you want, Holy Spirit? Putting you first and not making, you know, our circumstances or our emotions or tying that all in, but saying, Father, it's you want us to be led by you. You want us to have counsel. You want us to have wisdom. So, Father, we choose to be led by you and you alone. We choose to put you first, and we choose to put aside our feelings and our emotions and all that kind of stuff, our fears, and we repent of all that. And we say, forgive us, Father. And, Father, anyone who led us or helped us, led us or helped us or have attributed, that's the word, attributed to us, contributed to us, operating out of fear, insecurity. Father, we forgive them, whatever issue is behind all that. We forgive them, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us, too, in operating in that way, so we don't put the blame totally on them, but we take responsibility for our own actions in the past. And Father, we say yes to you, and we accept, we choose, believe, and receive and accept the godly belief. We will choose to say we will operate under the guidance of the Holy Spirit through wisdom of God, through your wisdom, and through godly counsel. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.